Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Harris Cherokee Resort. Find us online at caesars.com/harris-cherokee.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So obviously, if you're listening on podcasts, you can't see this with your own eyes. No radio for us today. We're preempted there with our friends at 960 The Rep. But for those of you listening in on the podcast, I'm very happy to say we don't do this very much. But in studio, sitting next to me right now, is my good friend Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation's recruiting insider. No better day to have him on our program, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, as the early signing period begins today. And Jeff, I'll bring you in on this. Obviously, we'll take a lot of comments and be kind of free-flowing on our program today. I started the show yesterday by saying that one of the reasons in life I talk so fast is because I have a tendency to think fast. That means I don't always process and catalog information as well as I could. This is one of those times, today, tomorrow, Friday, the conclusion of the early signing period, where there's so much information coming in. So many would-be UGA targets making their announcement, Georgia commits, sending in their letter of intent. It can be hard to process all of it, decide what matters more than something else, what we need to be paying the closest attention to. That's one of the reasons why I'm glad to have you here on our program here today. The one thing I do know for sure, it is going to be an incredibly busy day. I think it's going to be an incredibly fun day. I love when the news cycle spins as fast as it's about to spin. Georgia's going to likely get some good news along the way. Georgia may not get all the good news that it hopes to get. We obviously can't predict that one way or another. But by the time this thing is over, sometime tonight, my guess is we'll all feel like we need to stop, pause, and take a deep breath.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Dog Nation and this fellow right here that it's kind of a lot like Thanksgiving. And I mean, what I mean is that Georgia's going to go after a big plate at 12:30, C.J. Stroud, a big plate at 1:05, that's Arian Smith, another big plate at 2:30. The dessert plate might be Jermaine Burton at 3:30, but you're going to have to save room because whatever with this class, there's a story that's up on DogNation.com right now where we kind of go through the six ways that Georgia needs to slay signing day. One of those is Kelee Ringo. Kelee Ringo is not going to make his announcement known today. That's going to be the All-American Bowl on January the 4th. But he told me yesterday that he's going to make a signature. He's going to sign during the early period. He's signing today in Arizona, and everything's going to be kept on the hush-hush right there. Quickly speeding through it all. Then you've got Georgia trying to change the wide receiver room. That's Arian Smith, 1:05, decision there on ESPN. And then you've got Jermaine Burton at 3:30, another name to look at there. The third thing is Jordan Birch, 2:30 p.m. out of Hammond School in South Carolina. You hear LSU, you hear Georgia, you hear South Carolina. Those are the three most particular pieces of chatter. And folks, just like I said yesterday on the Dog Nation Daily program, if someone is trying to be like a smart guy and act like what they know, they've heard this, their insiders tell them this, I would take that at face value, because nobody, if they're being honest, really knows what Jordan Birch is going to do. It's going to feel a whole lot like maybe one of the most mysterious recruitments of this cycle. I think it even goes beyond Eric Gilbert, because Eric Gilbert at least would talk to folks and you could read his body language and his innuendo about a lot of schools. Darnell Washington, I think that's the big thing for Georgia fans to think about. Just trying to get a big full circle 10,000-foot view of everything. Darnell is not signing anywhere this week. There's still some mystery regarding whether he's even going to commit at all at the Under Armour All-American Bowl. That's going to be on January the 2nd. He's a guy that's not enrolling early, so he could just as well take that thing out to February the 5th. And my final segue here is that's what Cedric Von Prawn's going to do, and that's what Broderick Jones is going to do. Two remaining big tent. We talked about tent poles. Folks, this is more than tent poles. These are capstone-type recruits for Matt Luke's first offensive line at Georgia.
So let me take care of a piece of business. Connor Riley, our on-site producer, we're getting some messages in our YouTube comment section that apparently there's some issues there. Maybe take a look on YouTube, see if everything is okay. Obviously, if you're having a video issue, we are live on Twitter every single day. We're live on Facebook there as well. We've even taken some Twitter comments lately, so we'll try to get that taken care of and fix everything up for you, and we'll get you kind of up and rolling here on this edition of Dog Nation Daily today, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Also coming up in a moment, for those of you that watch Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger every Wednesday, one of the things that we do on there, one of the fun pieces of content we provide on that show is our top targets. And Jeff has been good enough to work together a sort of Dog Nation Daily exclusive version of those top targets, kind of only centered around we're going to see happen today. We're going to see happen here this week as a part of the early signing period. In fact, why don't we go ahead and we'll get ready to take a look at that coming up in just a moment. We'll take a look at those top targets and kind of who's out there for Georgia and kind of how this is all going to play out for Georgia here coming up in just a moment. While we're doing that, Jeff, you mentioned the name Jordan Birch a moment ago. Tim Hope bringing that up on our Facebook comment section. That flurry of predictions and online chatter that I like to reference kind of coming in for Birch right now. Obviously, this has been a battle that Georgia's been solidly in the mix for, and yet, like so many of these five-star recruitments, maybe seemingly here at the end, you've got some flurries of some other programs trying to win the round, trying to steal this thing at the last second. This is kind of par for the course for what has been a pretty contested recruitment all the way around, contested here today as well.
Yeah. So, you know, like this is the one thing I want to just make sure folks clear. If when folks are really trying, you see a lot of folks online and I hear about them. We got a lot of stuff going on in the Dog Nation forum right now, Brandon. I think 221 folks are in there right now perusing a bunch of our threads. The commit to the G thread for 2020, which is the next to commit to the G thread for 2020. Brandon, there's over a million views on that thread so far since that thread's inception.
We've got about a half a million of those probably just from me alone.
Yeah, and then the hurry up intel thread, this is the one I put together last, you know, late June. We got a lot of information as I hear it. I'm just sticking it in right there. Dante Manning is pretty interesting. The four-star defensive back, the cornerback, the nation's number six overall corner who Kirby Smart, Dante Manning said that Kirby Smart compared him to Jalen Ramsey. He just tweeted out that his decision is finally at peace.
Okay.
He has signed it. Remember, Dante Manning is the guy that's going to sign and then zip his lips until the Under Armour All-American game on January the 2nd. But with Birch, I know that's the big topic. This is one of those things where people in the forum are saying, this guy's picking this guy, this guy's picking this guy. And then their rationale is saying, well, they got to pick somebody.
Yeah.
And I mean, folks, let me tell you this. This Jordan Birch recruitment is the most tight-lipped at all. And for me, I think the most intelligent thing to say is no one really has any idea. And I'm not going to faux or fake it or just act like I'm a ventriloquist puppet and act like I can give you good things to say here. Sometimes in life, the most intelligent things to do is just to say, I don't know, rather than make a fool out of yourself.
So here's what we can know. What's at stake and out there for George as a way of previewing that here today as part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Let us see, and I'll obviously for podcast audience read this off, the top targets that Jeff sees available to Georgia and maybe the ones that would matter most for UJ here today. Let's take a look at that. Five names to mention here, starting at the top, Keely Ringo. As Jeff said, we won't hear about Ringo today, but he will sign that letter of intent. And obviously, we know the five-star cornerback from Arizona, how important he's been. Then you get to receivers. Arian Smith from Lakeland, Florida. Jermaine Burton, most recently from Calabasas, California, who is an LSU commit. Then it's Jordan Birch, the aforementioned name there at number four, followed by C.J. Stroud, the quarterback at number five. So, Jeff, let me see if I can say this in the right way. Obviously, Ringo will have to wait on hearing about. That's also a guy that Georgia fans, for the most part, have felt pretty confident about. So let me push Ringo aside just for a moment, and no one will do that to him on the football field. But for the sake of this conversation, I'll push him aside. I think the most important storyline for Georgia today is what happens with these wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Is it Arian Smith or Jermaine Burton? Is there a possibility that Georgia could get both? Would Georgia strike out and not get either? Given the need that Georgia has on the field, we all saw that with our own eyes, the receiver position just kind of lagged behind for Georgia. Given that, then Georgia's got a big need and a need it can address in a huge way with a guy like Burton or a guy like Arian Smith. So to me, that's the most important thing that we're going to learn about today. The most interesting thing is probably the battle for Jordan Birch, just simply because of how many big-name programs are part of it. There's a reason why Dog Nation will be providing video coverage of the Birch announcement later on, because it's this knockdown, drag-out battle royal between a lot of the biggest and best programs in all of college football. That's the most interesting. The potential for the surprise, though, is with C.J. Stroud. Not a surprise in the fact that we already know he's considering Georgia, but as of yesterday, you and I spoke on this very program, I would have said at the time that if it's a 51% on one side or the other, to me, it seems somewhat unlikely that Georgia takes this second quarterback, that a guy like Stroud this late in the process chooses UGA. John Prine Williams in our Facebook comment section says, where's the wow moment going to come from? To me, if a guy like Stroud were to choose Georgia over Ohio State today, that'd be a little bit of a wow moment, a little bit of a, oh, really, Georgia's got a lot deeper quarterback all of a sudden with Carson Beck set to arrive on campus, with Stroud coming in here and joining up late. That, to me, is the most, I guess, the biggest potential for a surprise today. How's that assessment of the situation in your mind?
Yeah, so we had an early show meeting today when we were in the war room. I guess we'll call this brand new shiny anchor desk you have right here. And we'll call it the war room, or at least the ESP room or whatever. And we were going through a couple of storylines that we think, if that happens, it would be the most well-read story of the day on Dog Nation. I think C.J. Stroud choosing Georgia, even in the face of those 15 online crystal balls from 24/7 Sports saying Ohio State there, I think it's very interesting. I think the most responsible way I can kind of look at C.J. Stroud's decision right now, and if we would go, first of all, no one knows this at all. I'm of the belief, my information serves me here, to say that Stroud, who is a very quiet kid, a lot of those in this cycle right now, Brandon, very tight-lipped kid, definitely not a lot of Malik Herrings in this class, I would say, but this is a young man that doesn't say much at all, doesn't do a lot of media either. He does do some, but he is a guy that I believe is not going to tell either staff, Georgia or Ohio State. That's who I think it is, Georgia or Ohio State, what it's going to be. And I do think, you know, I know people all around, your favorite recruiting guy source is probably telling you this. I think Georgia's definitely in it with Stroud, and I think Georgia has really clicked off a lot of late momentum for C.J. Stroud. And to me, I'm just going to share what I think here. If C.J. Stroud becomes a Bulldog, you add him with Carson Beck, that gets me thinking about what the quarterback room is going to look like in Georgia beyond. And not just recruiting-wise in 2021, 2022, but also what it's going to look like in 2020. Because I wonder, you know, I said this on our program for 2 weeks, Brandon. I said the only way I realistically saw C.J. Stroud choosing Georgia, because he's got the same option to wait a year behind an incumbent at Ohio State and Justin Fields.
Yeah.
The only way I saw C.J. Stroud choosing Georgia with the offensive fit, yada, 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 would be if it meant something with Jake Fromm moving on to the NFL. And I'm going to look at that, and the first thing that goes through my mind, should Georgia get the win today, and should Georgia beat out Ohio State for C.J. Stroud, the first thing I'm going to think about is, what does it mean for Jake Fromm? Yeah. That's what I'm going to think about, because I've been thinking about that for 3 weeks. Another thing, Connor, if we could pull up that screen one more time, let me give you guys the right filter to look at this. It would have been confusing and misleading, but if I can look at that board again, that top targets board, there's really two ways to look at that. You start out with Kelee Ringo at the top, and I think you've got Jordan Burch there, 1 and 4. I think those are names that helps Georgia's push to be a number two class, a number three class. That's the short term. That's the very short term right
Good
now.
Point.
That's the recruiting championship. Now, when you look at 2 and 3 right there, I think those are the guys that will be helpful for Georgia to win a championship in 2020.
I think that's well said.
I think those are the guys you got to think, because a lot of recruiting guys want to – lots of folks come into this lane this time of year to start really thinking about recruiting. And we thank you guys that are doing that right now. And they start going, who's going to help? What do we need? How is it going to help Georgia to win that 15th game? Those are guys, number 2 and 3, Arian Smith and Jermaine Burton, that helps Georgia win 12, 13 games, 14 games in 2020. When you look at Kelee Ringo, I think he's going to play right away if he chooses Georgia. But that's not a guy that I think is going to be the difference in Georgia winning an SEC title or not. Where I do think 2 and 3 definitely are, there's another name that's not on this list. We're not going to confuse folks. That's Darnell Washington.
Yeah.
Because the reason why Darnell Washington, who's another guy that I think could potentially help Georgia win a championship in 2020, is Darnell told the world via social media accounts that he's not signing today, not signing this week during the early period, and there's even some mystery now at all regarding whether Darnell Washington will even commit or not on January the 2nd at the Under Armour All-American game.
On Twitter, Clint Haynes wants to talk about DeAndre Swift's announcement from yesterday. We'll do that here coming up on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Let me do one more thing on this list, though, Jeff, before we move on and talk about a couple of other subjects. Jermaine Burton is kind of the latest name to add back into a discussion like this. Now, if you go back to the summer, we talked about Burton all the time, but once Burton pledged to LSU, we kind of stopped talking about him and started talking about guys it seemed more likely that Georgia might get. How difficult of a recruiting win would Burton be for Georgia today?
That would be a guy, and let me just speak purely in scouting terms right here. this is going to be a guy that, should he choose Georgia, remember, he's currently committed to LSU, but he's a Georgia native, Atlanta resident, played at Hayville Charter his freshman year, then went to IMG, then to Calabasas, California, then back to IMG for just a couple cups of coffee, and then went back to Calabasas, California. This is a guy that, if you want to equate players, I think this is a guy that can do a lot of things, which was what Dominic Blaylock gave Georgia last year. I'm talking about an instant impact kid. But I think he's about a step faster and just as quick as Dominic Blaylock as well. So if you're looking for Georgia to have maybe just as good a prospect as Blaylock to drop into that wide receiver rotation in 2020, I think Jermaine Burton can do that. When we look at his overall opening ratings and what he did for those used to be called the Spark or the opening finals, testing, combine championship type things. You got Dominic Blaylock going 4.07, 4.06 in the short shuttle drill. You got Jermaine Burton going 3.93, 3.98 with a faster laser 40. And I'm going to say the guru, guy I call a lot the Mr. Miyagi right now of wide receiver trainers in the Southeast, especially the state of Georgia, that's Terrence Edwards. Terrence Edwards told me that fella's ball skills were as good as any he's ever seen and had the chance to work with. And should he choose Georgia, Burton could help right away and make plays for Georgia right away.
All right, we've got more from Jeff Sintel coming up. Let me remind you, though, that my name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, and glad to have you with us. Video today, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Don't you normally get to have Jeff Sintel in with us for the full show, but glad to be able to do that on the program today. No radio for us. We're preempted today and tomorrow on 960 The Ref. Looking forward to be back there on our home in the Classic City here really soon. And, of course, podcast audience, no matter how you get to us. And I do realize that by the time many of you listen to this show, you'll have already heard some of the things happen that we're kind of predicting and talking about now. But that's the challenge of doing a show like this on a busy news cycle the way that the start of the early signing period is. Nonetheless, we're glad to have you as part of our program today. Of course, we really appreciate Harris Cherokee Casino Resort making it all possible. They got two great locations, both less than a three-hour drive from Atlanta, whether it be the original Harris Cherokee Casino Resort property or the Harris Cherokee Valley River Casino there as well. They both have tremendous gaming areas, all the kinds of sort of slot machines and table games and things like that you've come to love and expect, and they've got tremendous accommodations there as well. In fact, Harris Cherokee Casino Resort has more than 1,100 rooms, 10 dining options, spa. It's really kind of a world-class getaway. And coming soon, it's the book. Sports gaming coming to the Harris Cherokee Casino Resort properties. If you take a look on your screen, you will see the website you can go to find out more about the book, the brand new sports book coming to Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Or if you're listening to the podcast today, simply just search that, Harris Cherokee Casino, the book, sports book, and you can learn about more about when it's opening, what it's going to be about, and all the fun that's going to be coming to Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Appreciate you being with us on the program today. Let's go around the doghouse now, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And obviously the show today is mostly recruiting, but some of the recruiting storylines will follow, or at least impacted by what happened with the guys already a part of the program yesterday. We saw a couple of offensive linemen make their announcement that their Georgia careers are done. Let me start with Andrew Thomas, the legendary, I don't think it's too bold of a word to use, in terms of the career that he's put together at UGA, first team All-American. Yesterday, in a very classy way, he announced that it was the end of his Georgia career, not going to play in the bowl game, I believe you can take from the message that he gives there. Moving on to the NFL draft, not to be outdone by that, was his partner on the right side, one of the other bookend tackles, University of Georgia, Isaiah Wilson, also announcing his intention to go to the NFL. Now, Wilson's only a redshirt sophomore, so he had more eligibility than what Thomas had, but nonetheless, Wilson's ready to try his hand at the NFL. We were able to get some reporting. Jeff, good job by you on this to confirm that Wilson's also not going to play in the Sugar Bowl. So Georgia looking for two starting tackles next season, and that story will be a part of the recruiting stuff. Some today, but certainly as you head towards February when Broderick Jones hopefully signs his letter of intent with Georgia, that need for starting tackles next season is a part of the recruiting story, is it not?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, first of all, Georgia has a media day today where Kirby Smart meets the press, talks about signing day. It also, I think it's the only media opportunity for Georgia in the state of Georgia before they leave for the bowl game in Louisiana. Here's what I think it does. I talked to Chad Lindbergh last night. Mm-hmm. Lindbergh told me that he had every assumption that the guys were gonna go pro. So even though he's a tackle, he knew that those guys would be exiting the program. Big news day last night because you had Lindbergh reaffirming his commitment. You had Major Burns earlier in the day that took a little bit of drama out of the defensive back picture for Georgia for the 2020 class, especially today. Remember, Major Burns is an early enrollee, and that's all happened since you went on the air yesterday.
Yeah.
So then you keep looking forward, and you go, the thing with both of those guys, and I think here's the big picture thing, is I think it helps Georgia that two of their stalwarts, three-year guys on the offensive line feel so good about their time at Georgia and their draft stock that they're moving on to the NFL right before the early signing period. It's another reminder that Georgia and Kirby Smart are launching guys in the NFL. I know everybody talks about coaching fit and championships and dream and playing with this guy or playing with that guy, but ultimately these young men are also always looking for a trampoline to the NFL.
Well, since you bring up those names, I don't want to get lost too far away from the Thomas Wilson thing, but since you bring up Burns and Lindbergh for a moment, let me ask you a question. First of all, you really got to read the Chad Lindbergh story at dognation.com, because I thought it's kind of cool that right on the heels of Lindbergh making his kind of reaffirmation to Georgia, you know, Jeff's got some pretty provocative quotes from Lindbergh like right there after the fact at dognation.com. So it's a very timely story to have up on the site, and it's still worth going back and checking out. If you missed that at dognation.com, I hope you will. From Lindbergh's standpoint, when he says, hey, coming up 7 o'clock tonight, I'm going to make an announcement, and maybe the first thought was, oh, no, is Lindbergh now thinking about going somewhere else? And then you kind of find out, no, you know, he's going to still be the Georgia guy. Was this him trying to have some fun and just, you know, just enjoy himself a little bit on social media before his big day? Was this him doing a solid for Georgia and giving a little nice publicity for the new offensive line coach, Matt Luke? When a guy like that, you know, kind of cryptically says, hey, I'm going to sign somewhere on Wednesday, leaving the door open that it could be somewhere else besides Georgia, then kind of makes an announcement about an announcement, reaffirms to UGA. What's that about from Lindbergh's standpoint?
Yeah, and everybody likes the term commit to the G. Well, I think this was kind of a recommit.
Yeah, it was.
Recommit to the G. And because Lindbergh, that was something where people start wondering. You know, he told me early in the week that he was going to sign. And frankly, Brandon, I thought the smartest thing for this kid with a 5.43 GPA going into his senior year, that's on a 6.0 scale, I thought the smartest thing he could do was just back up, because he can just wait, take more visits, see how things fall, and make his decision during the traditional signing day in February. He was under no rush because he wasn't an early enrollee, but there's a quote here that I think a lot of Dog Nation gravitated to.
I hope that, yeah.
And I know it struck a chord with a lot of our readership. But he said something like, I was sold on more than just one coach. Now I'm going to quote him directly.
Yeah.
He said, I love Pittman, but love the university and the program. And this is the part where Brandon Adams just went, probably got up and danced the jig.
Yeah, for sure.
He says, I feel the anticipation and energy for historic seasons.
No, I mean, that's a beautifully worded sentence, and it's a really exciting thing for a Georgia fan to think about, that a guy like that says, hey, I liked a lot more about Georgia than just Sam Pittman, especially on the heels of Wilson and Thomas making the announcement they made yesterday. That's about all you can ask a recruit to say right there.
Yeah, so then he said he knew the tackles would leave, and that's always been big for him, and he's been sold on Kirby Smart in the school. He trusts that all the love Coach Matt Luke's NFL guys give him is real, and I trust that he's a good guy. So trust is coming in there a lot.
Yeah.
But then he also mentions Coach Scott Sinclair in the strength program is also big to me. That's a young man that needs to change his body, I think, within the first 18 months he's on a college campus, to where he goes from Under Armour All-American and another highly rated guy in Georgia's Great Wall. Still think they can build one in this class, even though the architect might have moved on to another company. Lindbergh is a guy, I think he's going to need a good 12 to 18 months to change his body, where he would really look like a true road grader in the SEC.
So one more thing before we get back to Thomas and Wilson for a moment, and I also want to mention DeAndre Swift as well. When a guy like Major Burns, who's a player that I think a lot of us have come to really like here as of late since he was back on the open market, when he makes a commitment the way he does the day before early signing period begins, is that a signal that, hey, we thought numbers might be tight for Georgia, and now they really are, because a guy like that feels like he needs to sort of stake his claim to one of those scholarships while they're available? When a guy like that makes the jump on Tuesday, are we looking at a scarce situation for Georgia scholarships being the motivation for that?
Yeah, so let me see. We've kind of rallied through a lot of information over the last 12 hours in the Dog Nation forum. Number one, there's 221 people on there right now looking at it. 240, excuse me. But so lots of things to think about here. First of all, when people look at this class, I want people to start by looking at two things, Eli Wolf and Lawrence Cager, because those are two scholarships that were used in 2020 that will go towards the 2021 class. So that takes two guys away from the max amount of guys that Georgia could sign. So last night we reported in the Dog Nation Forum, I got good information from those close to Jared Zirkle. Jared Zirkle, remember, Jay-Z is the kicker legacy at Georgia. His mother attended Georgia. He is the three-star kicker, the guy who boomed a 59-yard field goal during his junior year. Zirkle's circle told me that Zirkle will be having a signing ceremony today, Brandon.
Okay.
But it will not be to sign his letter of intent. It's just kind of a public declaration that he's with Georgia. He's committed to Georgia. He is going to do what is called a blue shirt. Blue shirt means that his scholarship will not count towards the 2020 class. It's going to count toward the 2021 class. Very much like we just mentioned at the top there with Wolf and Cager. That means Jared Zirkle is going to show up around June-ish in Athens, probably pay his own way around campus for 2 months, and then he's going to go on scholarship on the first day of classes in August of 2020. And his scholarship, even though he's going to play during the 2020 season, will count towards the 2021 class. So the fact that Georgia, to me, Brandon, mm-hmm. is still blue-shirting Jared Zirkle, we can do some Tetris from all of that. And what I mean by doing Tetris is that determines that Georgia's probably going to sign at least 23 players during the early period, or they're going to at least hold back scholarships for Cedric Von Prawn, Broderick Jones, Darnell Washington, Keely Ringo, Dante Manning. So, folks, you might only see 18 names pop up today.
Yeah.
18, 19 names pop up today. And that's important because right now Georgia has 16 current commitments, public current commitments in the class. So Zirkle being a blue shirt means that he's going to really wants to be a Bulldog so bad that he's going to hang out for about 2 months on campus as a blue shirt on his own dime, and then he's going to go on scholarship in August of 2020, and then his scholarship will count towards 2021. That tells me a couple things. One, it tells me that Georgia's going to sign as many players as it can if they're looking to blue shirt and not scholarship a guy that could at least be the starting kickoff guy mm-hmm. or at least the starting place kicker for Georgia in 2020. It also tells me something about maybe where a name like Eric Reed now fits, because you mentioned Major Burns earlier. That was him, I think, getting a spot in the class while he could grab it yesterday. He's already signed, sealed, and delivered to Georgia. He's an early enrollee that will be there in January as well. Eric Reed is not an early enrollee who cannot be there in January as well. Some more information I want to make sure people can get on the forum. I know I want folks to know this. The Zirkle stuff was some juice over the last 12 hours. Kobe Wilson, that's the inside linebacker out of Parkview High School. He's a three-star. I'm going to file this evaluation under what Kirby Smart said at SEC Media Days back in July when he said the senior year evaluation is going to be big for Georgia going forward. You have Kobe Wilson tells me he's going to sign at the noon hour at Parkview High School, and he's interestingly choosing between Georgia and Temple. Kobe Wilson is also an inside linebacker who will enroll early. Curious part here is he's committed to Memphis at the time, committed to Memphis right now, at least when you look on his profiles and everything else, publicly committed to Memphis, but he's going to choose between Georgia and Temple today at noon.
And obviously the Tigers, like a lot of programs, coaching turnover there, maybe opening the door to get involved. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Engineering Solutions of Georgia. One more thing before we wrap up this portion of the show and take a lot of your comments, questions for Jeff. I know that Jude Walco and others in our Facebook comment section talking about the status of DeAndre Swift, who also had his own somewhat of an announcement on social media yesterday. I think we've got that. We can show people the fact that he hasn't made up his mind yet, he says, about what he's going to do in the future. He says, I have not made my decision yet. I will decide after the bowl game. Now, Jeff, without even getting into the very odd rumor mill that erupted around Swift yesterday, conventional wisdom is that Swift's going to the NFL. Why not just say that yesterday? What do you make of that?
I guess that means he wants to play in the bowl game. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wants to improve his stock. Maybe he wants to go out as a Georgia Bulldog as a winner. But I mean, it would have been so
easy.
Do you
think that tweet, it's unfair to ask you to speculate, I don't take from that tweet he's necessarily playing in the bowl game. I just take it that he wants to announce something one way or another after the bowl game, which makes, to me, it all the more curious.
Yeah, it's going to be curious because if he doesn't play in the bowl game, there's going to be a shroud of, well, is the shoulder right? Is it healthy?
It's kind of an odd tweet, I thought.
I think it's just a way because there was some speculation online about who was next. And
yeah.
Every guy that was on the beat was saying, I don't think he's the only one. Watch for this guy. Watch for that guy. And I think DeAndre Swift just wanted to go about this a certain way. Maybe he doesn't have all his draft grades in yet. Maybe he wants to check that shoulder, see how it feels. Or maybe it's like J.R. Reed. You know, I think J.R. Reed, I don't think he made a statement during the awards tour last week that I think maybe Dog Nation heard, but I want to make sure they heard it on this program, as he said, Georgia's playing. I'm a dog, so the dogs are playing, and I'm a dog. That's one way for J.R. Reed to look at it, and DeAndre Swift, maybe he might have some of that Nick Chubb in him. Remember what Nick Chubb and Sony Michel did? They came back for their senior years and turned out to be rosy for Georgia and the fans. That's just another thing to think about there, because I think a guy like both Chubb and Michel kind of helped their stock during their senior seasons.
It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know, ESOG is a solutions-based company. That means when you're facing some sort of waterproofing issue, when you've got a foundation issue around your home, if you're facing something like that, that's a problem that needs solving, and ESOG can certainly help you with that. And if it's a simple fix, they'll provide you that simple solution. They'll just tell you to go to the hardware store and buy a blah, blah, blah. They can fix the problem that you have. But sometimes when it comes to a foundation issue, when you're seeing those cracks show up in the walls, when you see that water creeping into your basement or crawl space, let's face it, sometimes those are more complicated fixes. And if that be the case, then Engineered Solutions of Georgia is also the ones to trust, because they have two full-time engineers on staff. Let's face it, when you've got big problems involving the structural integrity of your home, you want smart people fixing those problems. That's what Engineered Solutions of Georgia can provide. And the great news is, it is very easy to get in touch. You can reach out to them by simply dialing 678-ESOG-NOW. That's right, dial 678-ESOG-NOW. That'll get you in touch with Engineered Solutions of Georgia. It's a very special edition of Dog Nation Daily today, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Jeff, would it be okay with you if we kind of rolled through here on both Facebook, YouTube, Twitter? I've been soliciting a lot of comments, and just let folks kind of ask you questions, and we'll just kind of roll through things here for the next few minutes and kind of be kind of free-flowing. And, of course, in our podcast, we appreciate you guys tolerating a slightly different version of our show today, but I know you would look forward to hearing as much from Jeff Sintel as you can possibly get. Rodney Mabry asking about Kendall Milton signing today. So, Jeff, I guess hit that, both in terms of Milton's plans, I believe being on California time, we're going to have to wait a little bit on that letter of intent to pop in, but also guys for Georgia who are already in the mix and have already signed now.
Yeah, so Milton is a guy that's going to have a ceremony tonight. I believe that's at 6:30 local time in California, which would be 9:30 Eastern time. I'm looking at Georgia right now, and out of their, I think the number is 12, Brandon. They've got 12 of their public commits. Those signatures are already been faxed, signed, sealed, and delivered. They've been announced by Georgia. They have 16. They have 16 public commits right now. Let's do some quick math here. Mm-hmm. Milton would be 13. Broderick would be 14. Cedric Von Prawn would be 15. So they've got all of their commits, all of their public commits that are not deciding, on during the traditional signing day in February. They've got all of those guys, but one name there so far in the board. And then that leaves room for the fun part of the early signing period as well.
My favorite part.
You know, Brandon, you can please peruse your feeds or whatever, but we've also, in my Sintel's Intel Hurry Up thread on the Dog Nation forum, we've also got a bunch of questions that are coming in. We asked folks how they would think, what they wanted to know heading into the day, and there's some good stuff. So Kane Dog 2140, you love this fella. He's got the Ultimate Warrior as his sigil on his DogNation.com forum account.
Man after my own heart.
He wants to know who amongst today's signee is a true sleeper. Someone we haven't talked about much that could be a Thomas Davis, a David Pollock, a David Andrews, etc. That's a stud who plays on Sunday that everyone looks back and says, we missed on that guy. Mm-hmm. a lot of names to go through there. And I can't call a guy like Jalen Carter a sleeper.
Yeah.
But I would call a guy down the line a little bit. You know, Justin, I mean, Jalen Kimber is a guy to me that looks like he checks every box. They put out a list. I think 24/7 Sports put out a list this week about the fastest prospects in the country, and Jalen Kimber's name was on there. Kimber's only a number 150 type prospect now. His ratings have skidded a little bit from maybe the 90s to the 130, 140, 150 range. But I'm going to say this. There are very few Bulldogs recruit signees over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years that have cracked that top five list at the opening in terms of that opening rating. Nick Chubb was one of those. Nolan Smith was one of those. And Jalen Kimber is one of those as well. Kimber's a guy that is going to be a 4.0 on the short shuttle. He's going to be a 4.4 in the 40 on the laser. He's going to vertical leap's going to be about 40 inches there. All that looks good. And he's also a guy that's going to be enroll early to be in the class. I think he needs about 4 to 5 good months of Sinclair's weight room.
Yeah.
Maybe to eat a lot of mac and cheese and some chicken and some grilled chicken and lots of protein at Georgia, where he can turn that 170 to about 185, something like that, retain all that speed. And I think he's going to be an early contributor for Georgia.
So my answer to the question is probably not the right answer, because he asked for a sleeper, and certainly Jalen Carter's not a sleeper. But if you were to, I was mentioning this to somebody before our show began today, that if you gave me one example of a guy that I probably haven't hyped up enough, because I truly believe that he has, at least within the threshold of possibility of being a great player, I believe it's Jalen Carter along the defensive line. That's one of those guys that I don't know how quickly it happens for him. It's hard to be as good on the defensive line as a freshman as Trayvon Walker was. Walker's just a pretty special player all the way around. But in terms of high ceiling, eventually being a major impact player, a guy I haven't hyped enough, Jalen Carter's maybe one of those guys.
Yeah, I think the opposite of the sleeper there, Brandon, is a ring the bell guy, and a guy that will immediately ring the bell and come out making plays. And with Jalen Carter, this is some rare stuff I'm going to say, but people want to know, who is he going to play like? Can he do what this guy does?
Yeah.
Brandon, I think Jalen Carter can give a Trayvon Walker-sized impact early on at Georgia, even though he's only the nation's number 7 defensive tackle, and a guy like Jordan Burch is rated a lot higher than him. I think Jalen Carter is my pick for a guy that can come right in away and play early, even in that physical foxhole, the trenches of the defensive line, offensive line, man-on-man battle in the SEC.
So, Valance on YouTube mentioning Jordan Burch, saying, hey, speaking as a Georgia fan, if Georgia gets Burch today, I'll be happy with kind of how everything else falls into place. I mean, how does, you know, you gave us 5 names to start our program, but if I said, will it down to just one name of, hey, this is the real bellwether for how Georgia did today. If I gave you one name, is Burch that one name? I said myself, it's the most interesting storyline today because of how many big-time programs are battling it out in kind of a battle royal fashion for Burch here at the end. But in terms of importance for the program, in terms of thermometer for how well Georgia's doing, is Burch that one name for you?
No, it's not. I think Burch is down the line for me a little bit, because I look at players that can impact the team as a whole. And I'm looking at the receiver position for that, Brandon, and I think Arian Smith is a guy for me that at the very least, when he's on the field, defenses are going to have to account for him and put a guy over the top. And that only helps Georgia's fear factor in terms of the receiver, to give the quarterback, the future quarterback, some playmakers to work with, some scary guys out there. But it changes the way defenses tried to contain Georgia last year. And what I mean is, not only is a guy like Arian Smith going to help the run game, help the throw game at Georgia, but that's what I clearly said there with my thought. Mm-hmm. It's going to help the run game, because you're going to pull those defenders out of the box. They're going to back off that line. It's going to help Georgia run the ball better. I sometimes want to make sure we do the right thing by not looking at these guys that are going to show up right now, or the guys that are popping today, the eggs that are hatching today.
Yeah.
We've also got to remember the guys that are in the fold. And to me, a guy like Kendall Milton, I think, will be very important in Georgia's future offensive plans. He could be a guy that could be a primary bell cow back by the end of his freshman year at Georgia, especially if DeAndre Swift already moves on to the pros. Milton's a guy you cannot forget. I think Broderick Jones, man, just a special offensive tackle. Not quite, I think, as ready to go technically as Andrew Thomas was 3 years ago at Georgia. But physically, the type of athlete he is, the way he moves, especially at that ballerina spot at the left tackle, Broderick Jones, holding on to him as a guy that I think would be crucial for this class.
That player GQ's got a good comment on Twitter. I'm going to read that here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me remind you that the Vince Dooley book signings we've been telling you about at various Krogers around the Atlanta and North Georgia area this holiday season, they are about to come to an end. So just a couple more opportunities for you to go to a Kroger here close to you and get a chance to meet Coach Dooley. Let me give you the final date. There's one today in Bonaire, Georgia. That's the Kroger on Georgia Highway 96 in Bonaire. That's from 5 to 6 p.m. today. Tomorrow, Coach Dooley going to be in Cumming at the beautiful Kroger at 5550 Bethelview Road. Tremendous facility. They'll welcome in Coach Dooley tomorrow from 5 to 6. Then the final event takes place on Friday at the Kroger on Town Lake Parkway in Woodstock, also from 5 to 6 p.m. So Bonaire today, Cumming on Thursday, that's on Bethelview Road, then the Town Lake Parkway location in Woodstock on Friday. Coach Dooley's written a number of great books, some of them about football, some about history. He's written about gardening. It's a great chance for you to give a tremendous holiday gift to a Georgia fan in your life. One of Coach Dooley's books, autographed. You can get that at some Kroger's here over the course of the next couple days. I hope you'll check that out. And, of course, happy to have Kroger as a part of all of our signing day coverage here today. We're going to be on video a lot. Kroger's going to be a big part of that. On Twitter, that player GQ, Jeff, asked about the possibility that Georgia still brings in a second running back. What's the possibility? Obviously, maybe not today, but by the time February is done, does Georgia look to add a second running back?
Yeah, that's something you're going to think about there. Does Georgia do that with maybe later on in the class for the February signing period or whatever? A lot of people are wanting to know a couple of things about, you know, the name there is Dejon Edwards. You know, the recent offer from DJ Lundy, he's a running back who's played so very well for Irwin County and Ascilla. I think that's a straight inside linebacker type offer right there. Going through a lot of lists, this is a time of day when a lot of people also want to know what's happening with other teams in the SEC.
And we're going to get to that coming up in a moment, so hold that for a second if you don't mind, because we've got to take care of that coming up here in just a moment.
This is where I was going with that, Brandon. I wanted to make sure I'm looking right now to answer your running back question. Yeah. Tank Bigsby was supposed to sign today at 10 a.m. at Callaway High School, and I just did a quick tour through the Auburn thread, and the Tank Bigsby announcement has not been made yet by Auburn.
So still waiting on that one to come in for the Auburn Tigers. That's certainly one worth watching when that finally becomes official, him there for Auburn. As I said before, we'll kind of get a little bit of a thumbnail on one of the top SEC teams here coming up in just a moment. Brian McPhail and others on that subject of second running back, Zachary Evans, the curiosity with him remains here or there as well. I've been saying that if you force me to make a prediction, now my predictions are sort of doomed to fail and bound to be wrong, but my prediction on Evans is I think he actually probably ends up in Texas A&M's class. Is that kind of, I mean, I know he's been a very difficult prospect to predict, but, you know, what is the latest on Evans? I mean, this is a guy we've almost completely stopped talking about after one time. At one point, we talked about him an awful lot. I mean, you know, where do things stand with Zachary Evans? Is there anything that you think you can say with certainty when it comes to him?
Say with certainty. I don't see him at Georgia. That's what I can say with certainty. He looks like he's going to be a guy that makes his decision at the Under Armour All-American game in Orlando on January the 2nd. Doesn't feel like Georgia to me at all here. It feels like you're going to see LSU or Texas A&M kind of battling to the end for him right there. Another interesting thing right there, you're hearing rumblings, especially over the last few 4 days, that Jace McClellan, the running back that's committed to Oklahoma right now, one of those higher-rated, you know, high four-star, low five-star type prospects, currently committed to Oklahoma. You hear rumblings with him about Alabama there as well. I think if Jace McClellan opened up at Oklahoma, I wonder what that would mean for Zachary Evans and a school like Oklahoma.
That's really pretty interesting. Really pretty interesting. More of your comments coming in here. As I said before, we'll talk more about some of these SEC situations here in just a moment. Light Dog 1968 kind of going back and relitigating some of the Tank Bigsby stuff. And, you know, the one thing that you have said about this situation, and even though I would admittedly would have liked to have seen Tank Bigsby in this class for Georgia, Jeff, the one thing that you've said about this is that Georgia had Kendall Milton, they liked Kendall Milton, and Tank Bigsby was a very similar type of player to Milton. Now, who's going to be the better college running back? That's very difficult to predict for anyone when you make any kind of side-by-side comparison between two players. But in terms of body style, playing style, Bigsby and Milton were just very similar prospects.
Yeah, they were. Georgia, when you look for Georgia to have like two similar, one's a Thunder, one's a Lightning type back, You know, that's what you wonder, because like Bigsby looked a lot like a lot like Milton in terms of a big. You know, Bigsby put on like 10 pounds for his senior year, moved his way up to five-star status. But Bigsby and Kendall Milton always to me seemed like similar players. That guy that would, you know, big back, that wasn't the home run electric lightning type back. Bigsby was a guy that I think, and let's just call it simple, straight to the point. I think Georgia's early pursuit and sustained pursuit of Zachary Evans, when he was definitely a guy on the board, high up on the board for Georgia, I think that the chase for Evans kind of muddied the waters there for Tank Bigsby.
Green Soldier also mentioned the Sugar Bowl here too. A chance to see what Kenny McIntosh is all about, right? Because we don't know about James Cook's status in the Sugar Bowl right now. There's other kinds of rumblings about who's going to play and who's not. I think one of the things that makes the Sugar Bowl interesting is who we might see more of that we haven't seen a whole lot. So if you're talking about running back depth for Georgia next season, a guy like Kenny McIntosh showing some of that in the Sugar Bowl is certainly an interesting part of that, right?
Yeah, because the thing to think about there is that, you know, you start wondering if DeAndre Swift's not available, then I think maybe of the 50 carries, Georgia, 45 carries, Georgia might give its backs against Baylor. I can see a split, maybe 13 to 15 carries apiece between McIntosh, Zamir White, and also Brian Herrien, who would also be up for that game.
So we have some news here, and if you're keeping track of scholarship count and things like this, this certainly matters, and it's also a great day for this young man. UGA announced that it has signed Jared Zirkle. So Zirkle apparently not on the blue shirt route here. Apparently Jared Zirkle is going to be an official member of the 2020 class. And Jeff, can you give me a thumbnail of the difference here and I guess how this impacts Georgia's ability to sign other players today?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing I want to make sure is clarification there on Zirkle and his family is, you know, for them to go ahead and Georgia to announce him today, that means he signed an actual binding document with Georgia today. And you wonder about, you know, what that means. I'm not quite certain whether this paperwork can be delayed where Georgia can sign a prospect right now and have it be 2021 papers. I don't think that's going to happen. So, you know, what might be happening here with Zirkle is Georgia realizes that this is a definite need, or it also realizes that maybe one of those numbers in the fold for this class is not there, and then they have the scholarship to give Zirkle.
It is a good point. We treat the Twitter announcements from Georgia as sort of like the official proclamation of, you know, the guys joining the class, because technically Georgia's not allowed to publicize them, you know, before they sign. So there is, I guess, an interesting way in which you would interpret that tweet from Georgia.
Yeah, he could also sign. I mean, it's different what he's available to sign. He could sign a financial aid form rather than a letter of intent. But I was told by his camp late last night, that he would not sign anything officially with Georgia today. And then for this to be announced by Georgia from their Twitter account means that those documents have been signed for the Bulldog football program to actually release his name.
So we'll keep our eye on that. We've also got more of your questions and comments coming for Jeff Sintel. It's a very special edition of Dog Nation Daily presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort as we are live here previewing everything that's going to be going on with signing day. We're also thinking about the Christmas holiday season there as well. And I know many of you are kind of down to the wire looking for that very good gift for that hard-to-buy-for person on your list. If you're watching on video, one of the things that you see right over here is our hover helmet. You know, big, brand-new, shiny desk. The Hover Helmet looks as good as it's ever looked. And the good news is, when you go to hoverhelmets.com/dognation, you'll find out there's still an opportunity for you to get one of these in time for Christmas. They'll give you all the instructions on that. But in order to save 20% today, you've got to go to hoverhelmets.com/dognation. Use the promo code DOGNATION. This is, for those of you that listen on the podcast and don't get a chance to see this with your own eyes, a Georgia football helmet. The apparatus makes it possible to kind of float there, suspended in midair. It spins, it shines, it looks beautiful in the light. You got a basement or an office, whatever else. The Hover helmet looks great. It's a great way to show off your UGA fandom, and it's a great gift. So still some time to get them. Many of the folks who've ordered theirs are getting them, they're receiving them, we're hearing from them about how excited they are to have this Hover helmet in time for Christmas, and you can do the same thing. It's hoverhelmets.com/dognation. Use the promo code DOGNATION, and you get a chance to save 20%. With that said, let's find out about some of the rest of the SEC for a moment. All right, so it's Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Jeff had wanted to kind of mention some of these other SEC storylines, so let's take a minute to do just that here. And I want to show you from 24/7 Sports the composite team rankings coming into today, the top programs in the SEC, where Georgia compares on that list, and kind of who may finish strong. Obviously, these rankings have a good opportunity to kind of flip back and forth here before it's all said and done. So as of now, Alabama top class in the SEC, followed by LSU, then Texas A&M, then Georgia.
Something to bring up, just so folks were wondering about this, Kendall Milton's letter of intent, his signature and everything is in at the University of Georgia. So that currently means that everyone that was planning to sign today that is committed to the University of Georgia, that's not going to be a silent commitment until the All-American Bowl. All of Georgia's public commitments, reminder, public commitments, all of those are now currently signed.
So that hay is in the barn for Georgia here as we go cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. And Jeff, give me a little bit of a thumbnail here. Alabama seemingly trying to have a big, big finish to the 2020 class. Obviously, there have been some rumors out there with Rakeem Jarrett, the LSU committed wide receiver. You mentioned before the possibility of a running back like Jace McClellan. Yeah, this is an Alabama team that took some bumps and bruises on the field this season. A roster that looked less deep than we've kind of grown used to seeing the Alabama classes look. How is Alabama meeting that need with its 2020 class right now?
Yeah, so Bryce Young, I guess, is the table stakes for them. That's the five-star quarterback that's going to do a lot of Tua Tagovailoa things. Alabama's also in the mix now. They're also trying to get the five-star running back, Jace McClellan. They're number one or number two in almost all the rankings right now, and Alabama's involved with a lot of guys that would maybe keep them top one, top two, and that battle would be Georgia, LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State.
You know, one of my theories on recruiting is that recruits typically notice positive momentum or negative momentum before anybody else does, and I think LSU is the perfect example of that. Coming into today, the number two SEC class, according to 24/7 Sports Composite, a lot of people will assume that's because they just won the SEC and are in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. But Jeff, you can speak to this as well as anybody can. A lot of this LSU recruiting momentum actually predates the season back in the spring and the summer. Ed Orgeron had increased the national footprint of LSU, much the same way Kirby Smart's done that at Georgia. Big recruiting wins for LSU, and they're looking to finish on a strong note there as well.
Yeah, so the ways to look at that, you got to remember, Coach O's a great recruiter, very magnetic. You meet the man in person. I mean, you saw folks like from all walks of life last week at the College Football Awards show taking pictures with Coach O because he's just that magnetic of a personality. He's a very impressionable guy. But remember, Brandon, this is like the perfect storm for LSU recruiting. Not only is it Joe Brady, not only is it Joe Burrow, not only is it that spread offense that's just like been magic beans to the rest of the SEC, but remember the facilities upgrade they went through where they retrofitted their locker room where everybody had the loungers and everything in front of that? They debuted their new recruiting plaza, their new team headquarters area, much like Georgia did, and the expansion of its facilities. All this stuff has kind of happened right in a row, bang, 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 bang for LSU. And then along the way, they've started throwing the ball around so much better. It attracted definitely the eyes of a guy like five-star tight end Eric Gilbert.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'll remind you, recruiters on the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. You know, Royal Caribbean turns 50 years bold this year. One of the ways they're celebrating that is by once again redefining what a cruise vacation is all about. And one of the really cool ways that's going down is with Perfect Day, Coco Cay. You've heard me talk about this, describe that. It's that private oasis right there in the Bahamas. There's a thrill side, there's a chill side. That means cabanas right there in the water for you to enjoy a tropical drink and put your toes in the water. Helium-filled balloons and water slides and things like that on the other side. So no matter like you know what you are, adult, child, teenager, everything in between, Perfect Day Coco Cay really provides something for everybody. And one of the cool things about this is a lot of the ships that sail there go right out of Port Canaveral, which is right near Orlando, or the closest port to get to from the Atlanta area. One of the real easy ways to experience your first cruise vacation, if you've never experienced one before, enjoying Perfect Day Coco Cay on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship, and just really experiencing why, for 50 years, Royal Caribbean's been the boldest choice in cruises, and certainly for 2020 and beyond, that expects to be true once again. So check out RoyalCaribbean.com to find out more about the ships that sail to Perfect Day Coco Cay and also get in touch with a travel advisor to help book the vacation that I know you need as we're cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean.
So I got to jump in here and have a 20-second timeout. Nice. I've got some information. This is the joys of doing live television, yeah. I guess, or live streams while you're trying to cover this stuff wire to wire. I want to make sure I get some clarity and give you guys some clarity around the Jared Zirkle stuff. The information I had last night is still accurate. He can sign a document today, Brandon, but that does not mean when he's reporting, when he's going to come on scholarship, okay, and when he's going to show up. Jared Zirkle just got back to me over a matter of minutes, and it means that he is signing he's signing something. It wasn't a letter of intent that was announced, but what matters here with Jared Zirkle and the blue shirt stuff is when he reports and when he goes on scholarship at the University of Georgia. Because what he's going to be in this situation is he's going to be basically a regular student at Georgia until he goes on scholarship in August.
So good to know. Let me see those SEC rankings here one more moment. I want to just get a quick, like, sort of rapid fire response from you on a few of these other teams. You got Georgia, obviously, at fourth in terms of the SEC rankings. But in terms of its national ranking, how high can Georgia climb by the end of the day? Just a simple answer to that question.
Simple answer.
Or by the end of the cycle.
Yes. I can't do end of the day,
yeah,
but end of the cycle.
Don't do that.
Let's say they retain. If there's the retention of Cedric Von Prawn and Broderick Jones, let's say they get I'm just going to make this simple. The best possible close to Georgia's cycle, I think they could end up with around a 320 composite score, and that would put them right in the shooting match for number two, number three, number one.
And if the teams ranked below Georgia in the SEC, Florida, we know a couple of their names, Javon Dexter maybe most prominently. Auburn obviously kind of gone head-to-head with Georgia for a couple names. South Carolina trying to hold on to the hometown guy, Jordan Birch. Tennessee and kind of involved here. Of the programs ranked below Georgia right now in the 24/7 composite, what's the most interesting storyline involving one of those programs that you think we ought to be paying close attention to?
In the SEC, you got to look at, you know, right now, forgive me, Brandon, but I got to mention Florida here. Florida's had two guys that really opened my eyes in this class. I'm not talking about the linebacker Derek Wingo, although he's very good, but there's a defensive back they signed out of South Florida by the name of Ethan Pouncey that to me looks like a very strong prospect, guy that I've always had my eye on this cycle.
A name we're used to seeing on the back of Florida jerseys too, by the way.
Pouncey, you like that, huh?
I know I don't like it, but I am used to it.
But then the first name that comes to my mind is, folks, you're going to have to get used to Jacksonville, and you're going to hope Georgia has some monster guards and monster centers that deal with Gervon Dexter. Gervon Dexter had 100 plus solo tackles this year as a senior in high school. He had 18 sacks. I think he's on the cusp of five-star status. And you want to talk about a bull gator in the middle of that defensive line that's going to stymie a guy like Kendall Milton, that's going to stymie a guy like Zamir White in the years to come for the Florida defensive line. That's a guy, Gervon Dexter. Because as much as this good stuff, as we're saying about Jalen Carter, can be a Trayvon Walker type guy for their front, I think Gervon Dexter can be that guy as well. Still need to see Florida get more skill talent, more one of those home run running backs, more of the dynamic quarterback that would maybe make Dan Mullen's offense go a little bit more. But defensively, those are two very nice pieces that Florida added in this class.
All right, it's Dog Nation Daily presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Let's get back full-time here on the side of the Georgia Bulldogs here for a moment. And Rabdog on Twitter asked a really interesting question. Obviously, one of the stories we're following pretty close to the time we go off the air here will be what happens with C.J. Stroud, the four-star quarterback from Rancho Cucamonga, California. And what Rab asked on Twitter is, why would a guy like Stroud come to Georgia, given the fact that Carson Beck, not only is he already committed, signed, he's about to show up on campus and start going through some bowl practices. What's attractive to Stroud about Georgia, given the fact there's already a 2020 quarterback commit?
Yeah, can you please read that one more time? I just had three texts.
No worries. Yeah. So what the commenter is questioning is why Stroud would want Georgia given the fact that Beck is already here.
Well, because that's a competition. He knows that he would be competing with Carson Beck down the road for time there, and those guys got to know each other very well at the Elite 11. I think there's also the opportunity to play in the SEC, and with Georgia and what they have compared to Ohio State, you're going to have to sit behind Justin Fields for at least a cycle. And, you know, C.J. Stroud, I know you're going to talk about the offensive fit. I know you're going to talk about the offensive systems. But C.J. Stroud, who is a guy that can open up things for the Georgia offense, some movement skills, some escapability. He throws the ball very well on the run. Remember, folks, he won the Elite 11 MVP title at the quarterback derby at the opening finals in Texas this year. He's a guy that can do a lot of things and maybe a lot of things that Georgia hadn't had in its offense for quite some time. And, you know, he has been hotly pursued, Brandon, by Georgia. Georgia devoted a lot of time last week in that run-up to the early signing period. Spent basically a full day out there with C.J. Stroud.
Justin Kane Peterson, to go back to Jordan Birch for a minute, mentioning both South Carolina and LSU. If you're a Georgia fan, which of those two rivals for Birch is the most significant in your mind? Is it LSU, who kind of had the late momentum? Is it Birch, who has the hometown pull?
I would be surprised. The only thing that I would say that would surprise me with Birch is if he goes all the way out to LSU. I think that's a very family-centric type guy there. Location, I think, matters a lot. I think to me, the most likelies in that order for me would probably be Georgia, South Carolina, right in that 1A, 1B spot, and then I think it would be LSU. Now, I think if LSU was a little bit closer to Columbia, South Carolina, that would be another matter altogether.
William Metcalf mentioning the George Pickens move from last year, the kind of big flip. Obviously, people love that kind of stuff. Is there a candidate for a Pickens-style flip this year, Jeff?
Well, the big flip everybody would want to see there would be the flip from Burton to Georgia from LSU. Yeah. I think that's the one that really steps out of the box a little bit. I know lots of Dog Nation would like to see a big tight end flip, or they would like to see Georgia.
Well, Jay Squillis brought that up. Now, if you're going to start talking that way, Jay Squillis is asking that question in the comment section on Facebook.
I'm sure everybody's the one thing they go to their mind is they're like, is Theo Johnson's letter of intent in to Penn State? Is Eric Gilbert's letter of intent in to LSU? That's the thing folks are going to want to know from this 2020 class, because if right now, listen, folks, everybody that's committed to Georgia that was going to sign today has signed. Those letters of intent are in. So I want to folks to remember this. What we just said about in the space of about the last 10 minutes of the Dog Nation Daily program, Brandon, Zirkle did not sign a scholarship today. Zirkle did not sign a letter of intent type scholarship today. That's what I've been told he did not do. So that means that Georgia still has that extra scholarship in the class to play with for names like Jordan Birch, Arian Smith, Darnell Washington, C.J. Stroud, Jermaine Burton, all those guys. Those guys are still on the table for the class.
A.C. Slater wants to talk about Darnell Washington. We'll do that in a minute. Some people are also asking about Jordan Birch because Jeff's sitting here right now. Two things I got to tell you. First of all, y'all got to stop acting like Jeff being there means Georgia's getting a recruit, because how many of these have we done lately where Georgia didn't get the guy? I feel like we're on a little bit of a losing streak when it comes to that. However, most importantly, the second thing, and Connor Ryan's going to join us here too, the second thing is we're going to have live coverage of Jordan Birch later on. So we got the coverage coming, but don't assume Jeff being there means Georgia's getting the guy. Connor joins us, by the way.
The last commitment we were at, Arik Gilbert.
Right.
Georgia did not land him there. Yeah, Daniel, when we were there live, Georgia did not land him there.
Some of y'all, and I say this with all due respect, are not quite as smart as you think you are, because Jeff being there was no magic elixir for Arik Gilbert, who did pull a surprise, but it didn't benefit me at all. He chose LSU with Jeff standing right there.
Well, technically, I was not there at Arik Gilbert signing. I was not there for Dog Nation. Normally,
but Dog Nation was there.
Yeah. Normally, my track record's pretty good on this. I think folks are going to read into these things. It was one of those things where we looked around, and could I be X? Could I be Y? Could I be in Lakeland? Could I be in Columbia? Could I be in, Calabasas? Could I be in Rancho Cucamonga? I think the best way that I thought my services could be used would be to coming on multiple hits here for Dog Nation Daily and also throughout our Dog Nation platforms during the day. And that also gives me a better time to just camp out and write and maybe educate our whole staff about what's going on the trail, especially with us taking so many live shots.
But y'all don't worry about this. We are in Columbia today. We're gonna be live on video as per usual. When it comes to that.
Per use, huh?
A.C. Slater on Facebook mentioning Darnell Washington. So, good story from you yesterday at DogNation.com, but the Washington part of this, I'll admit, kind of confuses me a little bit. So, Washington says on Twitter yesterday that he's not signing anywhere on Wednesday. A source close to him in the story that you wrote says he's not signing anywhere during the early signing period. Those are two very different things. It's one thing not to do something on Wednesday. It's another thing not to sign anything on the early signing period altogether. You also alluded to, off the top of our program here, there's a chance he doesn't now announce his intentions in early January, which was his kind of plan all along connected to his All-Star game. I'm with A.C. Slater on this, my friend from the Saved by the Bell days. What in the world is going on with Darnell Washington? Because if you gave me a 5-minute pop quiz on this, I'm not quite sure I could tell you.
Well, the things you know is, Georgia fans would have to feel good about their September 21st official. They'd have to feel good about the late unofficial for Texas A&M. Georgia went and visited him during the early period. But then there's been lots of pressure, Brandon. Lots of pressure there from Miami. Lots of pressure there from Tennessee. That's where his last official visit was. And for some reason, that's kind of fogged things up there for Darnell Washington. Not signing anywhere this week. At one point, he said, shared via his social media account, that he was not going to talk to anyone, any reporters, any coaches whatsoever to clear out his mind. I think he promptly got on Madden and played a lot of online matches with Madden 2020 folks. And I don't know if Brandon or not was posing as Dog Nation Day 27494 to ask him about his recruiting.
No, listen, I leave these kids alone. I'll let them do what they want to do.
But now I think, because I asked that question, I said, what does this mean? What's on the table? What's off the table? And there's been no indication that even this plan there still is him for to commit at the Under Armour All-American game. And, you know, quite frankly, Brandon, I don't know. There's really no rush for Darnell because everybody's going to hold a spot for him. Everybody's going to need him in their class. He's not enrolling early, so he can just take things, slow things down as much as he wants to. I think he still has a couple official visits left to take as well for Darnell Washington as well. So that's one of those guys that, you know, we talked about, you know, one of the stories we put up on Dog Nation today was ways, you know, Kirby Smart and this staff needed to eat greedy on the recruiting trail, kind of like J.R. Reed did. Yeah. Well, they're going to have to save room for Darnell Washington because this one, I don't think we know now, it's not going to be decided this week. It might not be decided on January the 2nd. It might go all the way to February the 5th.
Yeah, Ken Feinberg also asking about Mikey Henderson, another kind of tight end target who we've talked about before. But based on some of the stuff that you've both written and said as of late, sounds like Henderson's pretty Boomer Sooner at this time.
Henderson's letter of intent is already in there for Boomer Sooner.
Okay, Boomer, I guess you would say to him on that after choosing to stay with the Oklahoma Sooners. Can I tell you about
got a live break-in, Brandon?
Let's do it.
The Tank.
I feel like we're doing like election night coverage.
The Tank.
Should be like Tim Russert writing on a whiteboard or something like that.
Where do you think the Tank's parked at?
Oh, come on. Don't even. Honestly, I have a fragile psyche. Don't even tell me this kind of stuff. Is he in now?
Tank Bigsby is in on the plane of Jordan-Hare. Tank Bigsby is a Tiger.
You know, listen, congratulations to him. I'm sure he's going to have a great career. And, you know, Gus Malzahn, say what you will, Georgia beats him on the field every single year, but you can't quite vanquish him as a recruiting foe, recruiting rival.
Theo Johnson is officially in for Penn State as well. Let's just kind of knock down all those tight end polls right there. The next one you need to go to is Eric Gilbert, the number one athlete in the nation, depending to some cycles.
Yeah.
He just was named the National Player of the Year.
Deservingly so. He's good.
National Player
of the Year. He's good.
Player of the Year. For Gatorade National Player of the Year, Matt Ryan handed him that honor right there. I guess you weren't available for that, Brandon. Too busy hiding his elf on the shelf.
Yeah,
maybe so.
Maybe so. Somebody's on it. I forgot. Let me tell you about a fun event. I forgot what the comment I was going to read. So let me tell you about something that's really fun coming up. Jeff, how about UGA Alumni Weekend for 2020 coming up March 26th through the 28th? It's going to be an amazing, amazing event. It's going to be a special orientation dinner. UGA President Jerry Moorhead going to be a part of that. There's also going to be a commencement brunch as well. All kinds of campus events where you get a chance to kind of see what you know life is like on campus these days. Really experiencing some of the best of what University of Georgia life is all about for the current students on campus, and really kind of find out how the UGA Alumni Association has helped fostering the growth and the development of the university community. It's also a great gift to give someone, a way to celebrate your alma mater, a very fun thing to say, hey, why don't we all go do this together? As I said before, it comes up on March 26th through the 28th. It's UGA Alumni Weekend for 2020. So a really fun thing. Keep this website in mind as you go learn more about this and book your chance to be a part of it. alumni.uga.edu/weekend. That's alumni.uga.edu/weekend. That is coming up, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and really happy to be able to tell you about that as part of our friends at the UGA Alumni Association. Russell Walker says, anything on Big Ben leaving? Obviously referencing Ben Cleveland. And I guess, Jeff, it's probably just fair to say when it comes to any of these other names beyond the two that made it official yesterday, Thomas and Wilson, there are going to be all kinds of rumors. There's going to be all kinds of speculation. There is, frankly, a lot of justified speculation about, well, it seems likely this guy might go. And as of now, we're just going to be in a holding period on this. Kirby Smart is trying to keep everything on lock when it comes to Georgia practices. They're not going to be showing a whole lot off. We don't know who's there right now. We can presume that there are a lot of guys who are not currently practicing for whatever reason. Some of this is going to probably be NFL-related. Do you feel like that you can say with any certainty about Cleveland or anybody else that hasn't made an announcement yet that might?
Yeah, so, you know, this is what my experiences have led me to believe, straight, simple to the fact. Guys like, you know, the 12 o'clock announcement coming up with Kobe Wilson out of Parkview High School, the recent offer, the recent interest with Austin Blaski out of South Effingham, yeah. Former NC State commitment from the state of Georgia, from Rincon, now near the Savannah area. For me, if guys like this float into the class, that tells me either one or two things. That tells me scholarships vacated, whether that's meaning a guy going portal or that means a guy going to the NFL. We've mentioned Ben Cleveland, Solomon Kinley, Isaiah Wilson is already, and Andrew Thomas, are they in the NFL portal? Can we
yeah,
call that?
Maybe so.
Which is a positive type
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, sure it is. Sure
the Goodell portal or something like
yeah.
that? So Georgia, if you see them start adding more names, I don't think folks need to start clutching their pearls and going, if Georgia signs this guy, what does that mean about Cedric Von Prahn? What does this mean about Broderick Jones, the five-star? I think what that means in my mind's eye is it means that something's happening with the guys on the current roster rather than current targets for 2020. Giving indication for Georgia to feel some type of way about to go in another direction. One thing I want to make sure we mention on the show, Brandon, one of the things I wanted to have in our opening bullet points of comments, Mekhi'l Sherman is a Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah.
Mekhi'l Sherman was the only linebacker basically Georgia wanted all class for this entire cycle. Mekhi'l Sherman, I think he's been wanting to come to Georgia for at least a year and a half. He finally committed to Georgia right after G-Day. The first announcement, Brandon, the first Bulldog that was announced by Georgia was again the highest rated guy in the class, and
yeah.
it was again a five-star linebacker. Last year it was Nolan Smith. This year it's Mekhi'l Sherman. The simplest, quickest thing I can tell you about Mekhi'l Sherman is he is 6'2½", 235. He runs in the 4.5s, coming off a knee injury, played his whole senior year for St. John's College in Washington, D.C. This was the junior opening, the 2018 opening in Texas, Brandon. One quick story. He was in the fastest man heats. The 235-pound linebacker was running with the running backs, the defensive backs, and the wide receivers in that criteria. Shows you how fast and explosive he is. I asked him one question one time. I said, Mekhi'l, why do you play football? Something very simple. In my trade and industry, it's an unlock question where you can learn about these kids beyond the helmet, beyond the game. Mekhi'l Sherman gave me a 700-word answer
wow.
to why he plays football. Brandon, I can't even – if I asked you to tell me why do you love Georgia football, do you think you could give me 700 answers?
I don't know. It's pretty impressive. MJ Sherman, Mekhi'l Sherman going to be a very, very impressive player for this program. For
yeah,
sure.
And I tweeted out earlier today, I think the circle of recruiting is happening a lot right now. What I mean is that the circle of the program, a rock-solid guy like Andrew Thomas and his family – they're moving on to the NFL portal. And here's the circle coming back around. I think Mekhi'l Sherman, Royalty Drip, Raisha Sherman, Donnie Blue, Raisha Sherman Blue, Mekhi'l Sherman and that family, those are going to be a great Bulldog family who are going to make the fans very proud that they came to be a part of the Bulldog football tradition.
All right, why don't we do this, kind of a different kind of version of our show today. Let's also remind you of our Gator Hater Updater on the way out the door here. 1,145 days with the recruiting wins that Georgia's about to collect today. We think that number can keep going up for a few years to come. Thanks so much for being a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Huge thanks to you, Jeff Sintel, for sitting in here and being a part of this there as well. And we'll see you back here again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for another edition of our program. Talk to you then, everybody.